Hi, welcome to the Dr. Dreama Show, inspiration and practical strategy for achieving your dream life. I'm your host, Dr. Dreama. I'm a psychologist and life designer. I'm here to help you design the life you want and deserve.
Welcome, I'm Dr. Dreama with the Dr. Dreama Show. And you know, today I was talking to a coaching client and she's relatively new to the online world and she wanted to know, what is the one thing that you wish you had known early on? And I thought, wow, you know, I feel like I have learned so much. In some ways, it's such a steep learning curve. But I think the one thing that I really wish that I had known at the beginning when I started this online journey, I wish I had known that I was showing up for myself. Because the online world is so different than doing business in real life, where people used to come to my office and we could talk and meet face to face. In the online world, it's so very different. And sometimes you put something out into social media and you get nothing back. And after a while, it affects your self-esteem and you start wondering, oh my God, am I really just not that good? And you begin to question other things and your confidence can falter. And some days you just think, oh man, I should just go back and do something different. Maybe I should go work with my hands. I don't know, because this thing isn't working for me. Eventually, it occurred to me that what I needed to do was I needed to show up for myself every day, knowing that what I was offering was what I wanted to offer. It was what I was good at helping people, good at coaching people and moving them through transitions in their life. Once I realized that, so much shifted for me. I showed up for myself and my business took off because I wasn't worrying about what other people thought. I wasn't worrying about whether or not I was doing it right or wrong. I just went out and did it. And that made such a world of difference. So think about this in your own life. Where do you need to show up for yourself? And if you do, what sort of difference might that make for you? So I'm going to move now to our caller, Anne Marie. Anne Marie, is there any part of this that you can relate to?
Absolutely, almost every single word of it, Dreama. You hit the nail on the head. I'm working in an industry that I do enjoy. It's an IT and a project industry. I'm there full time, but I have a big desire to move more into an alternative field, which is my Reiki practice, and I just can't seem to give myself the time or the opportunity to pursue it more. And it's a bit of an internal battle and an internal dialogue that's going on with me at the moment.
Well, that sounds like a big switch, going from something in IT to something that is more mindful based and more body based, right?
It is, but I suppose I'm using a lot of my mindfulness with my colleagues at the moment, just for me personally and with the work that I'm doing, and having to kind of think outside of the box and think about how what we're doing affects other people, and thinking about what other people need to make their work and their life more productive and more efficient, and therefore, you know, more balanced and happier. So I'm doing all these things for other people, but exactly as you began, I'm not doing these things for me at the moment.
Right. So what is stopping you from doing them for you? I understand you're working a full-time job. That certainly has a big part of it. But what's the rest of it?
There's lots of little, I suppose, things hanging on the end of that. It's the security element. It's the doubts and fears of, will I be able to actually do it? Will I be able to actually sort of get any clients? And you know, will I enjoy it? Will I burn out? Can I, you know, step into it gradually? There's all the, I suppose, the usual concerns going through my head.
Right. And most of those sound like what we all do. It's the fear talking, the fear that we won't be able to do it. What if I take a risk and I fail? What if nobody shows up and here I am putting everything on the line, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So what happens if you don't do this? Where will you be in 2 years?
I'll probably be even more frustrated, quite possibly burnt out, probably confused, and maybe a little bit, you know, frustrated, feeling that I've missed an opportunity that I could have taken.
Well, none of those things sound very inviting, I gotta tell you.
No, they don't.
Well, one of the things that you said that's of interest to me is, what if you were to start it on the side? Start it slowly. What comes up for you then?
Yes, I mean, I think that's definitely an option. You know, I suppose I just need to organize myself to take the first step to kind of get my equipment and to research, you know, getting a venue. And I, to be perfectly honest, I would love to be doing it even at the weekend, even if it was once a month or once every 2 weeks. And I think that would give me a real taste as to how feasible it was to balance it and I suppose to think about it more than, you know, maybe in 6 months moving more gradually into it, maybe one day a week or something.
That sounds fabulous, but let me ask you, what's driving you to think about doing this?
I suppose I have seen the benefits of working with people over the years and having seen the relief and the results that they can get from the Reiki and the sense of fulfillment that I get from that. And also that it's very important to me to be involved in this, in that field. I suppose I've done a lot of work around it, and a lot of my values and my ethos, I suppose, kind of sits there as well as in my other full-time job. So that's part of my conflict.
Well, what got you involved in Reiki in the first place?
Well, it was one of those things that kind of took me by surprise. I was doing a nutrition course, and one of the trainers on the course was a Reiki teacher, and she just had a lovely energy about her, and she was starting to teach, and it was something that I wasn't quite sure why I was going to the course, but I just felt drawn to do it. It was kind of like an instinctual thing. And then once I got involved, I just kept going, and I suppose I found it really, really lovely, really balancing, really soothing, and I felt the impact of it.
That sounds really important. And it, you know, I want to tell our audience, Anne-Marie, how you and I know each other. Can I do that?
Yes, go ahead. Please do.
I actually know Anne-Marie because of Aix-en-Provence. When my partner and I came here for a visit, we decided we would join a meetup group so we could meet and talk to other expats. And Anne-Marie was one of the first people we met, and we just fell in love with her. We found her energy to be so great. And as we got to know her, we understood that she's actually a really big risk taker. So here she is, this Irish woman landing in the south of France, having moved from New Zealand, and we were quite taken by this. So we moved to the south of France, not entirely because of Anne-Marie, but why not? She's a great person. And that very first week that we moved, she let us know that she was moving back to Ireland. We were like, oh my God, come on. And we have stayed in contact since then. And so I have an understanding of you in terms of your willingness to do what it takes to get you to where you want to be. And yet I'm hearing some hesitation around taking this leap and committing to doing this one day a week, one evening a week, whatever you decide. And I'm curious about that hesitation.
Yeah. Wow. Talk about, yeah, again, being incredibly succinct and hitting the nail on the head. What is the hesitation? I suppose I've moved so a lot that maybe I'm struggling a little bit with actually feeling grounded somewhere. Mm-hmm. Because after I left France, I moved back to Ireland, and I was in Cork, and I was there for a year and a half. And then I've just moved back to Dublin, and I'm in Dublin now 3 months. And I think there's a little bit of me that's kind of going, am I actually going to stay? Am I going to put down roots? Am I going to commit to something? Am I going to commit to, you know, building a practice and clients and seeing people? And then what happens in 6 months or a year that I decide that I'm going to take another risk and I'm going to up sticks and move again? And I think that's part of me going through this settling phase or settling grounding kind of issue at the moment. And I think that has something to do with it.
It sounds like you're afraid. You don't know whether or not you can actually commit to something.
Yeah, I've been, I suppose, footloose and fancy free for 4 years, having this amazing whirlwind semi-tour of the world. And I wanted to come back to Ireland, to my family, and I'm here now, and it's new. I suppose I'm back, you know, almost 2 years. But I'm questioning, and I'm questioning whether Ireland is the place for me. And I suppose I'm thinking, if it is the place for me, then I've got to balance my life, and I've got to balance the project management work that I love to do, and I've got to have the alternative stuff, which I love to do. But I'm struggling to commit.
Right. It also sounds like you're struggling to feel balanced.
Yes, I'm working full time, which is really great. I'm trying to, you know, get out there and network and meet people and make friends. I'm trying to spend time with my family. I'm trying to look after me. So I'm probably trying to balance a lot of things at the moment. And I think maybe that now taking on something new is possibly too soon.
Mm. So is it just you that you're taking care of?
Yes, it is. Yes. My parents are 2 hours away, but they're fine and they're healthy. There's no major issue there. It's just me.
Okay. And sometimes when it's just us, it makes it harder because our options are so big, right?
Yes, because there's lots of things that you you have a list of things that you want to do and achieve and see and yeah, you get lost in the mix of all of that.
Right. And yet what I heard you say earlier was, if you just stay doing what you've been doing, you're likely to feel more stuck, more frustrated, and probably more irritated with yourself.
Yes. So is it a question of priorities or getting focused, or what would you suggest?
Well, it sounds like you have this idea that your Reiki is actually really important to you. It has some overlap with the values of the work that you currently do full time. But what I don't hear is when you talk about the Reiki, there's something there that pulls you forward that it almost sounds like you're fighting against. Like you're saying, yeah, it's important, but. And then you give in to the fear that, what if I do all of this? What if I wind up not committing? What if I want to move around? What if? And that's where we all get lost, is when we go down the rabbit hole of what if.
Okay. So I shouldn't go down the rabbit hole of what if?
It sounds to me like you need to listen to yourself. You need to listen in silence to what you're actually telling yourself. And maybe I wonder if there's not a question underneath all of that around your self-worth in terms of committing to what you want to do, committing to yourself, maybe even committing to putting down roots. I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, that all sounds, you know, relevant and definite, you know, parts of what I've been thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wonder, are you a journal keeper?
No, not really. Not for a long time now. No, I suppose I don't feel like I have the time to do it.
Ah, we keep coming up against this issue of time, don't we?
Yes, We do.
What are you doing for yourself when you're not working?
I go to yoga 2 or 3 times a week. I joined a hiking group, which meets every Saturday. So that's a little bit labor and time intensive. And I'm trying to, you know, balance being with healthy living and cooking and, you know, doing some meditating and things like that. So I'm shooting myself in the foot here as I'm listening to myself speak. I suppose I could easily find, you know, yes, I know you're laughing, 10, 15 minutes to do some journaling at least once a day.
I wasn't even going to say once a day because I don't want to set you up to not do it. Okay.
Okay.
I always suggest that we start smaller to ensure success.
Okay.
So I want you to look and I want you to schedule 2 times a week.
Okay.
15, 20 minutes. And I want you to start journaling about what you want your life to look like in 1 year.
Okay. Okay.
And that's going to take you lots of places. You're going to have values come up. You're going to have travel come up. You're going to have these opposing things come up, and that's okay. You don't have to figure it out now. But okay, as you continue writing, you're going to start seeing some themes that start reappearing, and those are the things to pay attention to.
Okay.
Because whenever we're coming from a place where we're feeling either confused or frustrated or overwhelmed, it's just a sign we need to slow down and figure out what's really going on for me. What do I really want? And I think in talking to you, like when Judy and I were planning our move to France, that was a big part of it, was what we really wanted was to slow down. We wanted to enjoy life. We wanted to enjoy each other. And I wanted to do work that was fulfilling. But in order to get there, we had to talk it out. We had to make sure that what we were talking about was really what we wanted. Because it sounds so great on paper to say, well, let's move to the south of France. But there's some reality to it, right?
Yeah,
I want to make a living. I want to keep working. So all of those things came into play for us as we were trying to decide what to do next. And that sort of takes me back to what I was saying at the very beginning here was, I wish I had known that I really had to figure out how to show up for myself. And I thought if somebody had pressed me at the beginning of this journey, I would have said, of course I show up for myself. I'm a confident person. I've done a lot of things, no problem. I was so wrong about that. And that's okay. You know, I realize now that I was sort of comparing my chapter 1 to somebody else's chapter 20. And that's never a good thing when we start comparing our work to somebody else's work. And so for you to just slow yourself down and check in a couple of times a week and keep doing all of these other wonderful things that you're doing for yourself, the yoga, the healthy eating, the hiking, getting out and meeting people, those things will also help you make a decision about where you want to go next in life. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, twice a week is certainly manageable, you know, and I think that's brilliant, rather than kind of putting pressure on myself to, you know, add something else to my long to-do list already.
Right. If I had said, Anne Marie, I want you to sit down every day. I want you to journal for 30 minutes. After we got off this call, you would have been like that's going to happen.
Yeah. Like whatever. Yeah. Okay.
Right. So again, I want you to just slow down, listen to yourself, pay attention to where you start feeling frustrated, and give it a go.
Great. No, definitely. That's I'm going to definitely put that into action. Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. You know, I really appreciate you being on here because I think that a lot of people will relate to this bigger issue of, I'm in a job, it has some things about it that I really like, but I have this other thing that I keep thinking about doing and I don't really know how to do it. And so when we talk about doing those sorts of things, I think that you've really covered something that a lot of people are sitting there nodding their head going, yeah, that's me too. Okay, maybe I can sit and I can listen to myself and maybe I too can journal 2 times a week because I can make time for myself at least 2 times a week.
Definitely. Brilliant. I'm happy to have helped somebody else too, Dreama. So that's cool.
Well, we always have to appeal to that other side of us that will willingly do things for other people and not necessarily do them for ourselves.
That's it. Yeah. And you're dead right. You know, it's the even the way you started with the idea of showing up for yourself, and it's about, you know, finding that first step that's going to help you do it. And that's perfect for me right now, what we've talked about. That's great.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I want to actually talk to the audience at large now and say that, you know, Anne-Marie's journey is similar to what a lot of you are experiencing. I talk to people about this all of the time, this idea of how do I know? And making a big leap is not necessarily always the way to go. Sometimes we need to listen to ourselves and take a moment and figure out, how can I do this in a way that meets my needs now? Sometimes we have financial needs. You know, financial security cannot be overlooked. And sometimes we have a need for really giving into that passion and that desire. And so I encourage you to follow Anne-Marie's example and just start out easy by journaling twice a week. I also invite you to take a look. I have a new coaching program that I'm very excited about. It's called You're Worth It. And it's a coaching program to help you hit the reset button on how you think about life. Because we all come at life from the same beliefs of we have to work hard, or maybe your belief is that money is hard to get. And we have all of these beliefs, and yet we don't stop to examine them. So in this coaching program, You're Worth It, we're going to look at your life and work on it from the inside out. Build your confidence, get your sense of security, work on your anxiety if that's an issue for you, but move you towards designing the life that you want. So take a look. It's at www.dreamadial, I'll spell that, dreamadial.com/worth, worth-it, dreamadial.com/worth-it. Thank you so much, Anne-Marie, for joining me tonight. I really appreciate it, and I really hope that you will let me know how this turns out in the next couple of months.
I will do, definitely. Thank you so much, Dreama. This has been great and fun, too. It's been great.
Great. Thank you, Anne-Marie. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
So if you happen to be thinking about adding to what you do in life in any way, whether it's building a new business, taking up a new hobby, anything, I want you to think about taking your first step just by committing to this idea of exploring. Whenever we commit to something new, it's always, we're always moving into a place of change and risk-taking. And so that can sometimes feel a little bit scary. But when you commit to a small step, like I'm going to journal about this twice a week, then you're committing to something that you can build on because you will be successful. All you have to do is commit to that. Now, it might take a year, it might take a day, but what's meant to be, it's always going to find its way as long as you get out of your own way. This is Dr. Dreama. Thanks for listening.